org, and there's your financial future. You don't need no CMU degree in business to really do that. So I'm just saying that it's really sad. Some folks have no, because I mean, you're indoctrinated at a pretty early age. You know, they drill religion into your brain, no matter what religion you are. They try and drill it into your brain early. You know, because I always like this analogy. Say you're 21 years old and someone says, hey, you know what? There's this invisible guy in the sky. Yeah, and he made you and all this other. You're telling me this now? You find a Bible in a bookstore and you never saw or heard of anything about Christianity. I'm not picking on Christianity, but it's because, well, Islam, they don't have any sense of humor. So we got to go to the Christians. And the rest of them, just like, it's such a good target. Christianity really is a very fertile ground of comedy. You got to admit it. It really is. There's a lot of funny stuff in that religion. And they have pretty deep, for the most part, they have a decent sense of humor about themselves. Not a great one. No religion has a great humor sense about them. And you start reading it, and is this like some science fiction novel? What is this? So that's why it's drilled into your brain as a kid. Because this way you're still like, you're like gooey. And they just start shoving all that stuff in there. Then they start shoving in all the rules, you know? And then the sad thing is, you're just, I think intrinsically, people, if they're kind of left alone, they can kind of figure things out and how to be a decent human being. Most people. But then again, you get psychopaths. That's why religion was invented, is to keep the psychopaths from beating up the other people and taking all their bananas. That's basically, it was just a trick. Well, you can't do that. Why? Because invisible man in the sky is going to put you in a place where you'll burn forever. Oh, I guess I won't do that then. It's exactly, there's religion in 5 seconds. So once again, back to the traps, the things that are put in your way. So many ways, James.
There are so many traps been laid. How can you avoid one? Put your foot down in a moonlit glade. Snap your ankles broken. I don't know how decisions get made, which of the turns to take. It doesn't seem to matter what plans are laid. You can't tell when the wave will break. So many ways. So many ways.
blade is a long time coming. The degree of a person's ignorance will determine his place in the world, world. Everybody is born ignorant.
Who's right?
And must for a time live in ignorance.
Who's right?
But remember this, anyone who remains ignorant has only himself to blame.
Yourself short by the Stink Rays. That finishes thing out.
Yeah.
we go. That book ends the whole enjoy yourself, all the things like that. Okay, that was Enjoy Yourself by the Stylers. We started out with like Enjoy Yourself with Prince Buster. What else do we hear? Well, we heard Enjoy Yourself by the Jacksons. Yeah, that's the Jacksons. And this is kind of fascinating. We're going to talk about, just real quick, so we're doing Maslow's pyramid of needs to be a good, satisfied human being, okay? And this is all about self-actualization and creativity and self-esteem, those kind of things. A very top of the pyramid. Very hard to get that very top. You know, you have so many layers to get through. And we're going to zero in on people like Michael Jackson and Elvis and other people who have... you consider to be the most successful, king of pop, king of rock and roll, miserable people, miserable human beings, just not happy human beings. And you know why? You know why that is? Some people climb. They're always climbing, all right? And when they get to the top, they can't go any farther. It's not as great as they thought it was going to be, because that is a human being for you. Human beings have very little contentment, because that drive, you need drive and ambition and competition your whole life, and you just can't shut that off. When you reach the top and you're at that plateau and there's nowhere else to go to, you end up surrounding yourself with yes men, you surround yourself with a lot of negative stuff, and you start self-destructing. That's kind of at least what happens. Or you end up like someone like Bruce Springsteen, who never stops climbing. The only thing he is happy with, he says, the only time he feels like feels good is performing. And there's a lot of people like that. Frank Zappa was like that's a life of work, a whole life of work. And, you know, so you got to find that middle ground. You know, you say, okay, I've got this far. I'm sitting down on the plateau, and I'm happy with that. That is an incredible gift to honestly say, hey, I'm pretty happy with myself. Sure, yeah, it's not perfect. Yeah, I could have more of this and more of that, but I got this. And that's why you'll find that I do think maybe it's just the way some people are wired. Some people are wired to always be that hunter and that gatherer that never has enough stuff. Some just don't feel like doing it at all. It's how you're wired. Why do I do this? You say, why am I, what is the point of doing this little tiny radio station? What is the point of this? I've been doing radio for 30 years, okay? And I'm happy at this plateau. You know why? Two things, and I will tell you both of them. First one, and it sounds crazy, but I like it because you never know what's going to happen in the future. This is radio broadcasted. Goes out into the airwaves. Goes out into outer space. I'm reading the book Contact by Carl Sagan about these radio waves. It's just, they travel forever. They travel forever. Some alien life might pick us up and go, million years from now. Million years is nothing. A million years is nothing in the scope of the universe. A million years is zero. When you look at the length of infinity, a million years is the same as a second. So I'm alien. They listen to it. Hey, these guys are real jagoff. Or even more, probably even more, I would say, realistic, is people sitting around the campfire with their neural link in their brain. And they say, hey, let's listen to the Zombo show from 300 years ago. This guy's a goof. That, to me, boom. That's immortality right there. That's your immortality right there. Somebody listen to the show after I'm gone and going, hey, that guy has a real goof. But I kind of like it. Here you go. Or I learned something. That's basically a bottom line of the show, learning something. Because I think this show is more educational than, see, I didn't say educational. than half these damn college degrees that these people are being indebted to the rest of their life. These $100,000 degrees they will never pay for. They got to get a job to pay for that degree. Does anyone know how little sense that makes? If you look at that from a business standpoint, well, I want to learn this this information. Okay, yeah, and this information is going to get me an $80,000 a year job. How much is this information going to cost you? Well, this information is going to cost you $150,000, but that doesn't include the fact that you're paying about 7,000% interest, and you're going to end up paying $500,000 in the long run for that degree. And then that field is going to be so overwhelmed with people that there's going to be competition. Oh, who wants these jobs? That's going to drive the price down. You big dummies, you blew all your or your parents or your own money or your own future for this illusion of knowledge and this illusion of wisdom. Unless you're learning some hardcore good things you can put to work, I'm sure glad I know that hypotenuse theory as you're making somebody a latte. I've seen it happen. I've seen a lot of these CMU students stick around and go, well, what do I do with this now? Well, I got this. Or unless you've got contacts. A lot of people probably are very wealthy that go to this and have wealthy contacts. Good on them. Once again, it's just this sad survival game that we're thrown into. All right, let me tell you what else we played, though. We played, believe it or not, the greatest American hero, Joey Scarberry. And I got to interview William Catt. William Catt was the guy that played the greatest American hero. And he was a really down-to-earth guy. I did this interview. It was hilarious because a lot of people think he did other stuff other than the greatest American hero. You were really good in the paper chase. I wasn't in the TV show The Paper Chase. Well, that thing you were really good in that one movie. He was really a good sport about it. William Catt. Really, it was a really nice guy. Real down to earth dude. Before that, heard Don't Sell Yourself Short by the Stingrays. And I have no idea what they were thinking about in that song. But I know one thing they didn't say at the end of that song. Take two. All right, let's see here. We heard the House Martins, a very important song, Bow Down. And it is all about, you know, working for somebody else, being part of a cog in the huge machine. Some people might like that. Some people need routine. Some people need that same thing. But I'll tell you what, you do that same thing over and over again. And it kind of reminds you of Bob Fosse in the movie All That Jazz. You just look in the mirror every day and go, showtime. And you just start to wither away and it's showtime. And then you just get smaller and smaller and it's showtime. And that is your identity. And then people wonder why when people retire, they really don't seem to have any real will to live. You know, once they've taken away all of that life of work. So learn how to be a bum. That's another thing. Now, speaking of bums, we're going to get into the arts section of the show. Once again, it's Maslow's pyramid of human needs. And being an artist and being creative is also up at the top because we're the only animals that do that. Sure, they might say, oh, look, this chimpanzee can paint this, or this elephant. Look what this elephant can do with his trunk. That's just happenstance, you know? Or they could be reincarnated from a human being. Never know. You never know in this wacky world. Let me tell you something else here. I got it because I have to. Anyone can see is what this says. You have your image online and you share it with the world. That's because you can and you post it and everyone can see it. Don't let your private life become pubic. Before you post, think. For more information, go to the Cyber Tip Line brought to you by the U.S. Department of Justice, which I think is understaffed now. And I know the Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council. I think that's history, too. I can see those people going into work. I bet they're scared like crazy. Hey, you're with employment for, you work for the National, what's this called again? The National Center for Exploited Children and Missing and Exploited Children. You know that department's going. It sure was nice while it lasted. And you know what? You got to pick yourself, dust yourself off, and keep muscling. That's what you do. You keep muscling. And a great way to survive is to be artistic. And art is completely subjective. You can look at a painting and go, ah, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Someone else could look at it and say, no, that's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. It's all about art, man. It's all about doing it. This one's artists only. Let's start with the Talking Heads.
in history through art of artists and their models. You can comb through the Rome Colosseum in the rear of your nearest museum. There's the Mona Lisa, the Tower of Pisa, a cowhand's daughter out in Texas. And there's modern art to see that makes you wonder what the heck is meant to be. On the streets of Montmartre, there's a fancy kind of art that is strictly for the tourists from the sticks. And those wise Greenwich guys really open up your eyes, painting portraits of their pretty little chicks. So to each creator and imitator who dabbles and dabbles with the brushes, to the guys that draw the bunnies for the Sunday morning funnies and brighten up the world today, and to every girl that poses, to every Grandma Moses, we'd like to tip the overhead.
Hello. Recognize these teeth? I'm Art Snob, and I'm speaking for Mr. Leonardo's Warehouse of Eternal Art. Move the Louvre to your own den or patio with this indoor-outdoor all-weather art. These beautiful paintings are oil on astroturf by great masters, and each painting is signed by someone. All your favorite subjects, bulls, panthers, clowns, hobos, sad-eyed orphans. Look at these. Panthers eating clowns, orphans roasting hobos, sad-eyed bulls goring crying orphans. This is your rugged, year-round art, perfect for your patio or under your car. Here's how to order.
That's Mr. Leonardo's Warehouse of Eternal Art at 82 Haunted Shopping Mall Highway in King's Nose. Offer not valid in states covered by active consumer fraud statutes.
Call extension 95 and order now before it's too late.
Right. Wear any clothes, she's as long as a bride. See what you want, cause
And his cheap suit serenaders. And wow, some of the cheap suit serenaders are like artist Robert Armstrong, who did the great, great comic called Mickey Rat, which was just astounding. And also Terry Zwigoff was the bass player. Terry Zwigoff went on to be a movie director. He did Ghost World, the movie Ghost World that Dan Clowes wrote, who is another comic artist. So there you go. And we heard the Front 242 doing Art and Strategy. Strategy. We heard the Cult of the Psychic Fetus do Artist. The Jam did Art School. Dean Martin did Artists and Models from the 1955 film Artists and Models. We heard Billy Childish doing Arthur Ars. And the set began off with David Byrne, the Talking Heads, Artists Only. And there you go, from a great record, More Songs About Food and Building, which came out a long time ago, 78. And there you go. So we're just, right now we're in the whole art section of self-actualization. And I'll be honest with you, don't ever expect, you know, they show so many of these art biopics. Like you'll see, you know, the Van Gogh story, or you'll see the Jackson Pollock story. And it's always these tortured art. It's the same story. They do the same biopic for artists every time, and they set that template. Well, here's somebody with a struggle. Here's somebody that is miserable. Here's somebody with mental anguish, and they put it on canvas. And some people go, oh, that's something. And some people just ignore it. And some people go, oh, that's something. Then they die. You know, so I'm like, man, that guy was a genius. Man, that guy's a genius. Man, what a genius that was. Genius is ruined. The word genius is ruined. The word freedom is ruined. The word hero is ruined. You know, they ruined these words. You know, yes, especially hero and genius. A hero is like, oh, man, what a hero. He survived that crash. That wasn't a hero. He was lucky. He's lucky. He's not a hero. You know? And so anyhow, they should make biopics real. Same with music biopics, like the Johnny Cash one and the Ray Charles one. They never show any of the happiness or any of the joy. A great biopic would be some lady who's a painter, had a real good time painting, enjoyed painting, showed their paintings around, made a few bucks on some paintings, and then died. The end. Happy. A few bucks in her pocket and the joy of painting. But that doesn't sell. That nobody would go see a movie like that. Nobody wants to see happy. They want to see a movie where there's struggle because they can identify with it. And then maybe the underdog comes out in the end. And after they're dead, then they're appreciated. Kind of guess we all go down that road. I mean, that's how I'm thinking. People with their Neuralink linking to this show, listen to the show 300 years from now around in a nuclear campfire. Something like that. You can only dream. All right, what do we got going on here? We are finishing up. Well, we got one more week of this. And the next week is all money because we are doing the things you need in life, the Maslow's pyramid of human needs. And today is self-actualization, being creative, being an artist, being the best at what you can do, those kind of things, being the best you. Is the top. And he never really goes on, but that's the top of his pyramid. We're going to put a big dollar bill on top of that next week because that's where a lot of this comes down. You know, the story of money, the idea of money, the greatest, the Bible isn't the greatest story ever told. Money is the greatest story ever told. I'll be honest with you. That is a story. And that has tricked everybody into temporary slavery. Your job is temporary slavery. The salary you get is the ransom on your dreams. Throwing your dreams away and working. Because you have to work for the payoff. You have to work for that money. So you got to work for the money. So you sell you ransom your dream. And that's basically it's just all work is slavery. It's just a question of the degree how much you get paid. You know, you would not show up to work if you were not paid, would you? You'd find something else to do unless you love your job or you are self-employed. So that's why self-employment is very important. And I don't mean self-employment like, oh, I just work when I want to. I drive this Amazon truck. You are a slave. You're a slave with a flexible schedule. So, and I really feel bad for the people doing Ubers and Lyft drivers. These people think they have this illusion of working for themselves. They have that illusion. They're making $5, but they're making the guy above them $10. You know, it's their car, it's their gas, it's their time, it's their insurance. All they're paying for is that dumb little app that Whitey manufactured to make you and your car cogs in the world of slavery, rather than just having your own jitney business and taking people around in your car, because that is illegal. That is illegal. Isn't that funny? Yeah, they got you coming and going, man. That's the nature of this business. They want to shut down all of the joy, but you know we can find it, right? You can find that joy. Don't let them lose your spark, man. Keep muscling and be joyful in spite. Joyful spite is awesome because nothing makes somebody angrier that you might accidentally cut somebody or purposely cut somebody off in traffic, and they freak out, they honk their horn, they flip you off, they yell at you, and the best thing I always do is I smile and I wave at them like they're my buddy. That really short circuits thing, because the only reason they're doing that is they want to elicit that hatred and that bit of stress and horribleness out of you. They want you to feel that. They want to project their negativity on you, and then you feel negative and you give it back. But if you just put the mirror up, say, listen, man, you're silly. That's crazy, you know? And it is always fun. It is always fun. I always do cut off Cybertrucks when I can. If I see a Cybertruck, I always cut it off. Or I see a big giant monster truck, one of those urban assault vehicles. You ever see those urban assault vehicles? It's like, where are you living, man? You got this like 30-foot truck with giant monster wheels on it. You're just going to Sewickley, all right? You're not going through the desert. You're not climbing the mountaintop. You're going to the Walmart in Sewickley. Do you really need that urban assault vehicle with the gigantic tires and the Punisher sticker on the back of it? That's the hilarious thing about the Punisher thing. The Punisher, according to what I know, he was a guy that was vengeful against bad police people. That's what the Punisher was all about. And they twist that all around, and they make the Punisher all about somebody that's real machismo. You know, when the Punisher actually was, he went after bad cops. That's what if they knew what that really meant, but they don't. Otherwise, it wouldn't be on the back of their pick-em-up truck. Hey, I got to tell you about chronic fatigue. How about that, buddy boy? It affects 1 in 4 million Americans, and that is real stuff. It could be devastating. And that's when you just don't want to do anything, man. Just want to lay around, be lazy bum. Lazy bum disease. I used to have lazy bum disease. It still crops up on me now and then. About 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, I get lazy bum disease. And I need my siesta. That's right. I need the siesta and take a siesta. All right, so go get diagnosed and get informed and get treatments. That's CFS, baby. Doesn't even tell you who to go to. Oh, the Center for Disease Control. Ha ha. You lose again, sucker. See, this is how the thing, they make this big deal about how they got this new pope now and how they elected the new pope. New pope seems all right, you know? New pope seems okay. I don't know, as far as popes go, you know? So what happened? Like all the cardinals, all the wisest people who know religion, they go, oh, we like this guy. Oh, we like this guy. And they all kind of vote on that. You know, I think, you know, do you think if they would have turned that over to all the Catholics to have the Catholics vote, they'd end up with some Dumbo Pope that ran some kind of like campaign, you know? And so that's why they don't do it that way, because they don't trust dummies. They don't trust sheep. They don't trust morons to vote in their own best interest. That's because these people have never, most people in life who vote never made a decent decision in their entire life. Okay, they have horrible health habits. They eat horrible food. They're probably on their third or fourth marriage. They're in debt up to their eyeballs, playing the lottery, smoking, you know, making every bad decision a human being could make. What makes you think this person's going to make a good political decision? You know, that's kind of why, you know, you almost think you get the smartest people. You get scientists, you get economic people, you get them to vote on who could be the president, who could be the boss of this, not dummies in line to buy lottery tickets. Sorry. You're not equipped to make that kind of decision. I mean, if you're all around, you're working, okay, you're working, and you guys vote for the new boss, you're going to vote for the popular boss. You're not going to vote for, oh, this guy's going to really be good. No, this guy's going to be a bum. We want the bum there so we don't have to work as hard. We want the easy thing. Socrates always said, yeah, he always said this. I remember. It was yesterday. People are always going to make the easy choice. He says, that's why democracy is so flawed, because people will make the easy choice, the easy, dumb choice. If you give them a chance, here, you want a plate of broccoli or do you want some Funyuns? They're going to pick the Funyuns, and they're going to pick Funyuns every day until they end up gigantic Funyun balls. Whatever, man. Have you ever had gigantic Funyun balls? Delicious. All right, let's get back into the art stuff. Art lover. Once again, it's all about being creative in the artwork. I digressed in my pants. The Kinks, Art Lover.
Sunday afternoon, there's something special. It's just like another world. Jogging in the park is my excuse to look at all the little girls. I'm not a flasher in a raincoat. I'm not a dirty old man. I'm not gonna snatch you from your mother. I'm an art lover. Come to daddy. Oh, come to daddy. Come to daddy. Pretty little legs, I want to draw them like a Degas ballerina. Pure white skin, like porcelain. She's a work of art, and I should know. I'm an art lover. Come to daddy. And I'll give you some spangles. Little girl, don't notice me, watching as she innocently plays. She can't see me staring at her, because I'm always wearing shades. She feeds the ducks, looks at the flowers. I follow her around for hours and hours. I'd take her home, but that can never be. She's just a substitute for what's been taken from me. Oh, come to daddy, come on. Wish I could take you home. So, come on, give us a smile before you vanish out of view. I've learned to appreciate you the way art lovers do, and I only want to look at you.